Okay, I'm going to go ahead and call this Ridley Planning Commission regular meeting for Thursday, January 21st, 2016, 5 p.m. So the meeting is now in session. If everyone would please join us for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Alan, we're going to go ahead and do a roll call for attendance.
Commissioner Marcellus?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutierrez? Commissioner Hudson?
Commissioner Perez?
Here.
Here. Okay, next on our agenda is we're going to have, well, this is the portion for the election of the officers that sit on this commission. Right now we sit as myself as chairperson and Mr. Perez as vice chairperson. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to leave the slate of officers the same. So if I can get a second for that.
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you, Don. And if you want to go ahead and do a vote, that way we can leave status quo here. And then for the entire year, 2016, and then we can go for there from there.
Okay. Chairman Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Marcellus?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Thank you. So now this portion of the meeting is public comment. This provides an opportunity for the members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on this agenda this evening. Does anyone have any comment on things that are not on this agenda? Okay, let's move on. This next step would be the agenda number three, which is the consent agenda for the minutes of regular meeting November 19, 2015. I'm going to go ahead and recommend a motion to approve. Did everyone have a chance to look at them? And is there any concerns, questions about those? No? Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and ask for a motion. Could I get a second?
I'll second.
Second to approve. Can we do a roll call, please? Huh?
You were the first, Chairman. You made the motion?
Yes. Yes.
Commissioner Marcellus?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Thank you. So now we're in portion number four. So this is a public hearing. This is the staff is going to go ahead and let us know what's going on with this.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission, Kevin Fabino, Community Development Department. Before you this evening is consideration of General Plan Amendment 2015-2 and the Environmental Assessment Number 2015-23 related to the housing element and the fifth cycle. Staff is requesting at this time, based on working with our consultant, to ask you to consider continuing this matter to date certain, as we've indicated in our report. We're asking that you hold this over until it would be February 4th, again, date certain. Just for the benefit of the Planning Commission, as you well know, the city has been working on a collaborative housing element. The city, like every other city jurisdiction in Fresno County, is required under law to provide a housing element on very specific time frames. As you may recall, about 2 years ago, we finished what was commonly referred to as the four cycle. Those cycles typically run on 7-8 year planning cycles. We were very late, but we did get our four cycle done. We immediately jumped into the fifth cycle. And what's unique about the fifth cycle is really that the fifth cycle is a consortium of 13 cities, 12 cities in the county of Fresno. The reason I'm telling you all this about the 12 cities and the county is that we are preparing a joint housing authority. It's the first one that's ever been done in the state. It is not led by the county. That's not the case. It's that there'll be a section that is countywide, common to all jurisdictions within the county, and then within that will be 12 other sections related to each of the jurisdictions, the city of Reedley having one, its own section onto itself. So I'm sure, as you can imagine, trying to herd 13 cities down any pathway, work with the state of California, get letters of approval in a timely manner, and get all the CEQA documents done. We had a very ambitious schedule, and quite frankly, we, the city of Reedley, are not the holdup at all. But since we're part of a bigger consortium, the consultant did send us an email. The email was presented in your packet, which simply says, can you push it back? Finally, we're also requesting it, and we're here, and we had to post it on the agenda and post it as we did because we had already sent out notices to the paper. We had noticed the public hearing, and so we have to have this moment in time, and I have to stand up here and ask you, please consider continuing the matter. And that concludes staff's report.
Mr. Favino, it's certain date for the 4th of February, or is it possible that it can go beyond that?
So we're asking you to, it's kind of a technical matter, to set it to date certain.
Okay.
And by you setting it to date certain really avoids us having to notice it again.
Okay.
Because you're setting it to date certain, and by common practice, it's, the next regular meeting, we would not re-notice it.
Okay.
However, all things being said, should for some reason the consultant need more time or whatever the case may be, if it goes back beyond the 4th, like to the 18th would be our next regular meeting, then staff would by practice go ahead and issue another notice.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So under agenda number 4, there's a consideration for obviously what we heard from Mr. Favino, a request for continuance. So I'm going to go ahead and have a motion to approve that continuance to certain dates, 2/4/16 for general plan amendment 2015-02 regarding the environmental assessments number 2015-23 related to the housing element update, which is the fifth cycle. Do I have a motion to approve for continuance?
Make a motion to continue.
Could I get a second?
A second.
Okay. Can we have a roll call, please?
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Chairman Custodio?
Yes. So certain date to 2/4/16 as staff requested. Now we go to item number 5.
Good evening, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. Ellen Moore, Assistant Planner with the Community Development Department. The item before you tonight is calling to your attention the 2013 and 2014 annual reports for the general plan and the housing element. These reports basically summarize the calendar year activity of the department in terms of what staff is doing to implement the current general plan and what staff is doing to implement the current housing element. So this is kind of like the work implementation plan that the commission has seen before and has recommended to council. So it's basically a progress report of staff activity and department activity. One key thing that is different from the work implementation plan was there's actually numbers as to how many housing units were built per year. So that's just something that's a little bit different, and it also includes what units that are built that count towards our RENA numbers, which is something that's addressed in the housing element. So these are our annual progress reports, and they're required to be submitted to the California Department of Housing and Development and the Office of Planning and Research. So it's sent to the state for them to review and check off the list that the city is in compliance with this government code. And by keeping these things up to date, the city is eligible for certain grants that are out there that the city can take advantage of. So it was important that staff is up to date on these things. And this is 2013 and 2014, so in a couple months, you guys will also see 2015. And that concludes staff's report. I can answer any questions about the specific reports, but other than that, this is a recommendation to City Council to adopt these and then go ahead and send them off to the state. So thank you, and if you have any questions, let me know.
Commission, do you guys have any questions?
I have none.
Thank you, Ellen.
Okay, thank you.
So that brings up agenda item number 5. So we have a consideration of two resolutions here, A and B. I'm going to go ahead and ask for a motion to approve for resolution number 2016-01, which is a resolution of the City of Reedley Planning Commission recommending approval, excuse me, to the City Council, the 2013 Annual Progress Report for the Reedley General Plan and Housing Elements. We're going to go ahead and do it all together, if that's okay with you guys. Yes. Oh, well, yes, we do, actually. Is there anyone here that would like to speak on those two resolutions? Thank you. No, thank you. So let me go back. And let's do this again. So there is no public comment on these two resolutions that we spoke about. So like I said previously, I'm going to go ahead and ask the commission here to do a vote on both of these resolutions to recommend approval to the City Council. So we have resolution number 2016-01 and resolution number 2016-2. Which both are asking to recommend approval to the City Council, the 2013 and 2014 Annual Progress Report for the Reedley General Plan and Housing Elements. Do I have a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve and recommend that the Council approve them as well.
Okay.
When presented.
Thank you. A second?
A second.
Okay. Can we have a vote, please? Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Barcelas?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Chairman Custodio?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. So now we're part of the agenda here with the workshop that we have scheduled here. So item number 6, Mr. Fabino, you have the floor.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission, Kevin Fabino, Community Development Department. I'd like to take a moment and just introduce to you a gentleman by the name of Lee Ayers. Lee has been working with the City Council and the current administration on developing something called the Reedley Community Landscapes Plan. Lee has a horrendous amount of expertise in the area that we're about to talk about this evening, and we look forward to inviting him up and letting him speak to you about the benefits to creating a community landscape plan. Lee?
Thank you very much. Thanks for leaving so much time to talk about trees.
No problem.
We requested this be called a workshop because we aren't asking you to take official action.
Yes, thank you.
And I know you're accustomed to doing that, as you've already done tonight. And instead, I'm approaching you as community leaders. I contacted the city manager about engaging the council, the planning commission, the park and recreation commission, and of course, many other groups in the community. And she was kind enough to speak to Kevin and arrange this opportunity. We are doing something really special here. Tree Fresno has been crafting, incubating the concept of a community landscapes plan for several years. And I had an opportunity to see Kevin at a big water conference, and we started talking about whether it'd be timely here, given your update of the general plan and your tradition of caring about open space and trees. And one thing led to another, and here we are. I wanted to just walk through the way this agreement was structured with the city council and the manager, and then invite you to share some insights as individuals as well as planning commissioners on trees and landscapes and how we might begin to think about them or renew our thinking in Reedley. When I met with the city manager, I tried something brand new. I said, what if we undertook a plan and you didn't have to pay for the whole thing? And that interested her. She said, nobody ever asks us to do something and then help pay for it. And out of that, we crafted a partnership that envisioned a joint effort. Kevin, Ellen have already gone to work along with several others to help us undertake this plan. We went to Kaiser Permanente, got a commitment for $5,000 from them. We went to PG&E, got a commitment for $5,000 from them. Went to Palm Village Retirement Center, where one of our board members serves in a leadership role, and they committed to $5,000, which I thought was quite significant. And then, of course, we went to a trust that has a great interest in the environment, and in particular the Kings River, the Paul Johansson Trust, and they contributed $5,000. So that, with the $10,000 from the city of Reedley, completed the $30,000 budget. The schedule and scope goes like this. This month, we have commenced our evaluation of landscapes. And we're doing that with two terrific experts, John Pape, who's a certified arborist. And those of you who've been around a while may have remember seeing him on public television for years. He's recognized as an authority in this region, often called as a court witness. And then we have Rich Valancourt, who's a landscape architect, principal landscape advisor now to Fresno State, to Fresno Unified School District. He's done work for your Kings Canyon School District and others. And I went to them with a modest proposal that instead of engaging in their practice as certified arborists and landscape architects on a specific property, as you would if you were to retain them to help you, how about a whole community? And it just thrilled them. They were very intrigued with the idea that they would look in and look at what's here and then look at the soil and look at the climate and what would be attractive and timely for the community in collaboration with the community. So they have commenced this work, and we're over here every Wednesday, sometimes Friday because of the rain. And we are making our way through the community. With staff's assistance, we've looked at neighborhoods, we've looked at districts, we've looked at corridors, and we've ended up looking at five districts, we're calling them. And just to give you a general idea, one district is west of the river, west of Reed, those properties like the community college, and then south like Kings Beach, Kings River Beach would be one district. Another district north of Manning, another district the downtown area, the city center, and with that the high school and the residential area next to it, and then the area east of Button, east, which we're kind of calling East View at the moment, and then last the area south of Dinuba. I'm beginning to learn the names. And what this study calls for us to do is look at major neighborhoods and major corridors and think about trees as an enhancement for those neighborhoods and corridors, trees that would give the area an identity, as the palms do as you begin Reed, but we could add to that as well. Look at major corridors like Manning, major corridors like Button Willow, major corridors like Dinuba. And we've thought about 11th Street, and I'm not convinced that we can do something there that give it a separate identity because of the limited areas to plant, but we can talk about it because it's kind of a cool street because of the diagonal. An important street, however it's treated from a landscape standpoint. And so with those five districts and with those corridors, we would then, with these experts, develop proposed trees that would be planted to identify them, to add to what's there, as well as maybe in some cases introduce something new. Now, we've already seen that when we go into existing neighborhoods, particularly older neighborhoods, such a variety has already been planted that it's going to be a challenge to come up with two or three or four trees that could be planted in the foreseeable future that would change the identity of a neighborhood. This last one, or just yesterday, we were in the area north of Manning, and as I was asking Kevin about, the subdivision, the farthest north up towards south is fantastic. You know, you got street trees, you have trees in the front yards. It was thought through in a systematic way. And it gives you a sense of how trees can help a neighborhood feel whole. But as you go elsewhere, there's such a variety that one of the thoughts that our landscape architect is thinking is that we may want to introduce plants that can be put in existing landscapes, and then trees that can be recommended as trees are replaced. Because frankly, there's many trees that were planted that are no longer appropriate or the best. And in fact, we decided yesterday we're going to include a section in our report and talk about, for example, the liquid amber. Why was that the most fantastic tree for the North California area 50 years ago? I mean, liquid ambers were planted all over. And John Pape started carrying on. Fantastic fall color, rapid growth, attractive leaves. And a bark, but then there's the problems with the balls, problems with root drop, problems with roots, and I myself have had occasion to remove a liquid amber at my home, and I know many of our friends will find themselves in that predicament. But we want to approach this report in a way that we compliment the community and commend them, because obviously you've planted more trees than most communities. And it's because of that demonstrated commitment that Reedley was attractive to work with. So as we talk about transitioning, which is a term we're using with the school districts, where they start planting new trees, and then as those trees get mature, start removing the older ones that aren't the best. What would be examples of the ones that will probably get removed? Mulberries. The redwoods, largely because of the water required, but also because after 20 years they show a lot of stress. We may even in some cases remove magnolias because of the water requirement. Not that you have to take out your magnolia, because some of them are great, but if you're on a school site and you're thinking about a water budget, and I foresee the day that public agencies will need to have a water budget for every property. And it isn't like you have to do it tomorrow, but it's one of those things we'll all move to, and we'll decide how much turf and how much trees, which trees, in order to get to that water budget. And schools in particular are going to be challenged because of all the athletic fields. But parks too, where you have a lot of athletic fields, will be challenged. So that gives you a sense of what we're looking at, the landscape evaluation, and then moving toward developing a palette of trees appropriate for the region. And the good news for you guys, you have great soil. It drains well. I'm told there's a spot or two that isn't the greatest, but generally If anything, you may have a challenge near the river because when you have sandy soil, it drains a little faster, and you may have to water a little bit more often in those cases, but for a little bit shorter duration. But in a normal sandy loam situation, you've got a great situation. So based on that, a proposed palette and then a conceptual plan for the major neighborhoods and corridors. Now, keep in mind, as planning commissioners, from the outset, we didn't see this as final policy that we'd go through a legal hearing process on and all the attendant things that you well know, but it would be there for you to implement when you thought it was time. If Kevin wants to use it for his conditional use permits, if you want to use it as a reference for updating your street tree plan, which Public Works has indicated they would like to do, or if the parks folks want to refer to it as they plan landscaping for a park, great. And then our thought was, if it's a good plan, people start using it and like it and want it, and want it for their neighbors. Oh, speaking of neighbors, and I want to stop and invite some of your comments. One of the things I enjoy doing when I'm talking to a civic group, and I'm just talking to the Clovis Fresno YMCA service group, I love to ask them, what's the last time when you planned to plant a tree that you asked your neighbor for their opinion? That you consulted with your neighbors on what would be best for the block? And everybody agrees, never. We never think about that. Unless it's a rare situation where they're in a planned community and there's a prescribed tree planting plan. So it gets people thinking that trees matter for neighbors. It can change the shade for your neighbor. The roots and canopy can impact your neighbor for the better or for the worse. And the color and the form of the tree for your home and your neighbor's home can make a difference in what it's like to arrive in that neighborhood. Just imagine if five or six homes decided to plant the ginkgo biloba, which many homes have, and it does well here, incidentally, unusually well here. It's a tall, elegant tree, slow growing, but sure and magnificent. If people got together and decided on that for a neighborhood, it would right away start to identify that neighborhood. And that gets exciting because you're engaging people in adding value to their property. The palette and conceptual plan will be in February, and then we'll have some community engagement time. I've been told it's hard to get a big turnout for events, but we'll give it a try. Oh, and we've formed an advisory committee. There's four members, PEEP citizens in Reedley, who I knew or were recommended to us. Ron Nishinaka, who used to serve on the city council, retired horticulture instructor, and now board of trustee at the community college. He's serving on that. And he's former team member at Tree Fresno. Andy Shin. Madeline Mitchell, Master Gardener, and Tom Hannon with the city staff, retired Save Mart employee and now active with the Reedley Parkway. That's how I learned about him. And when I went to Dale and asked for a recommendation from them, Tom's name came in, and he's been fantastic. Very eager, and he's been coming to all the meetings. Anyway, we talked to them about communicating with the public with limited time. I said, you know, we're thinking about three events. And initially, I was thinking about a church, a school, a park. And they cautioned me that that could get confusing in trying to get the word out and promote participation. And then one of them used an interesting term, and I think we can say this to family, said, you know, the nice thing about the community center, it's neutral. Everybody knows where it is. You sense what they're saying? rather than this church or that school. So one thing led to another, and just yesterday, or last week, I firmed up a schedule where we would meet in March, two Thursdays, and I'll send out the dates, and a Saturday. We'll plant a tree for sure on that Saturday. I'm hoping daylight would permit us to do that on the Thursdays, but we may not yet have daylight late afternoon. I'm told that it'd be wise to think about 6 to 8 on a Thursday, give people time to get home, and then on Saturday, thinking about something like 10 to 1 in that neighborhood. When we get to talking, I welcome your thoughts on that. And that all of it would be at Mueller Park at the community center. And that's in March. And then in April, we need to develop our proposed action plan. And at that time, we'd be looking at public properties as well as private, drawing on the advisory committee, drawing on inputs from individuals. And I'm going to give you my card. You're welcome to send me thoughts as we go. Trees you love or don't. And thoughts about a given neighborhood. And then in that, we're going to try to be as specific as we can about proposed strategic properties, like a public property, like a major industry, like Georgia Pacific. I'd love to get them involved. They're down there on Button Willow, and there's a new, relatively new asphalt walkway in front, which just cries for some trees on each side. And the good news is there isn't a power line up there that would get in the way, which is always what we're having to deal with. So strategic properties like that, schools, parks, that would present an opportunity to begin planting what's proposed. And we would go to those property owners and ask them to pay for it. And that was part of the thought. Tree Fresno can do things like that. We can ask people to collaborate in a community initiative, and it's different than if the city's requiring it. Now, the city may ask for something like that the next time they come in for a building permit, but this way they could get rolling and start adding value and adding shade. And frankly, and I touched on this with Kevin, and I know for him it's just one more thing on the list. When you go down streets like, GHI, down I Street, kind of a service district, not many trees. Not many trees where people park their car if they're working there, if they're a customer coming up, let alone driving by or walking by. And you get more and more people walking in Reedley. So there may be a kind of a first step, or we could just propose it as a voluntary thing where an existing industrial or business properties consider adding trees just for the well-being of their customers and their employees, even if it wasn't required with their building permit. So anyway, that would be part of the action plan. And at that time, we hope to identify some major employers in Reedley who would help pay for some demonstration plantings that would allow us perhaps to offer free or discounted trees to property owners who are ready to implement this. And we're talking about the large pines or the medium-sized deciduous trees, and there may be even a place for fruit trees, nut trees, food forest as part of the palette that we develop. And then we'll go to the city council first week of May to make a presentation. And then we can do with it what you want. If you want to get together and talk about it, I've told the city manager, I personally am committed to invest the time to make this a success in Reedley, even after the period of the agreement. And we'll figure out at the time what needs to be done to help you. So I probably said all that I need to say at the moment. I would be very interested in your insight as to where you've seen tree planting opportunities in the community, or where trees were special for you in your life. Did you all grow up here, or did you all move in lately, or?
I've been here for quite a while now.
Okay.
But one of my questions was going to be, did you have an opportunity to recon the sports complex?
Yes.
On the east side?
Yes, I did.
Because not only is there opportunity there, but, you know, somewhere in the near future, we're going to build four softball fields down there. And as you well know, we would like to separate those with a row of trees and whatever, as most sports complexes have that.
Sure.
Have that same type of...
And it'd be great for the spectators, too.
Exactly, because that's where the spectators
right,
hang
and
out.
Especially along that south boundary. And we're also interested in working on that new transportation center to the extent
exactly.
that we can.
Next point.
Now,
yes.
When I met with the school district, we talked about that. But as you well know, people get into buildings and parking lots mm-hmm. and don't think about landscaping as soon as they should. So I'm hoping that they'll add some too. But anyway, yes.
So don't overlook that new district office also location.
Oh, down there on H?
Right next to
yeah.
Right
or I. H, G-H-I? Is it?
It's on 10th actually, Street. So H is the trail. Yeah.
Okay. I've seen it's under construction now too, isn't it?
Yes, it
yeah.
is.
Is that going to replace what's up here on Manning? Or
the district
or,
office
or North there. Street.
Yeah, they're relocating over there because they ran out of space.
Well, that's overdue. Yeah. yeah. The two nights I was at one of their meetings, people were standing outside. And we all kind of shuffled around and took turns going in for our, you know, when our item came up to the at the agenda. Yeah. But now, having lived in Reedley a long time, is there a tree that comes to mind that seems to have done well, that people like?
You know what? You're asking the wrong person.
I
do not. I had to have some advice on some of my trees, too, because I had the reverse. I had problems with my neighbor not liking the trees that were already planted there when the place was built.
Okay.
So I had to chop some of those down, but... And I was curious also, redwoods. A redwood life, as you understand it, only is 20 years?
They could live to be 100. However, they show a lot of stress in the San Joaquin Valley after 20 years. In fact, of course, the drought made it worse. We were getting call after call after call. What can I do to save my redwood? Because it's a cumulative stress of heat as well as the water. And it's a tree that is native to the foggy coast. And of course, we love its handsomeness and looks, particularly when it's young and virile. But as it gets older, a lot of them struggle. When confession, before my Tree Fresno assignment, when I first moved into the home I'm in, it was an older home and it had a larger yard and we tore out a lot of things. First thing I did was plant 3 redwoods. I've taken them out. I've taken out palm trees. I've left 3 palm trees. I couldn't part with some big, handsome Mexican palms that are nice and thick and stately, but several others, I took them out. It's water, it's maintenance, and in some cases it affects the neighbors because they end up with all these volunteer palms.
I think our parks deserve a little attention as well. Like, is it Citizens Park over here on Parlier Avenue? That trees in that area would certainly enhance that entire park, and that's probably what it needs.
And it gets a lot of use.
And it gets a lot of use, yes.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Whoever did the design on that did a great piece of work. They leveraged a detention basin in a beautiful way. And then added the walking trail.
Right.
I mean, that's a model. We don't have anything like it in the Clovis Fresno area. We've had trees and we've had landscape, but we haven't had that kind of active use that's still safe and appropriate for a ponding basin. It's great. Yeah, we just looked at that yesterday as well. And that's a good example. The sports park and citizens park and the city properties on the river all present an opportunity to do what we might call demonstration groves. Let's say that you come up with a palette for the city of three or four large pines and three or four medium-sized deciduous trees. It would be great if we could pick up some spots to do a grove of each so that people want to see it, they can go see it.
Well, I was just going to say it was something that Pete started. That is my neighborhood, and we had been there probably 7 years before that park went in, and as it's developed, it's been a wonderful thing for our neighborhood. However, the lack of trees is a problem because when people are there on Sunday, and there are a lot of people for various events, there's nowhere to be. So they bring their uprights out. And I mean, thank goodness they think ahead and say, this is the most portable, I'm going to do this, but wouldn't trees be a fabulous thing to have?
Sure. Yeah. For sure. Now, you live in that area.
Actually, I'm on Thompson, right there at the stop sign, just down the street.
Let me ask you, the hospital, what was Sierra?
Now it's Advanced
Hospital,
Town.
Now Advent. It just cries for something to pull it together. Now, obviously, it was done in pieces. It is what it is. And they, do they have a master plan for that, or have they said if they have some master plan to rework it? That, not that they've shared with the city, at least.
No. I'm not aware of
it. Okay. I mean, I go in there and I just think, well, you pick up this parcel, that parcel, and modify this entrance, and it starts to come together. We will approach them as Tree Fresno, again, things we can do comfortably, and ask if they have a master plan, tell them we're developing tree proposals for their neighborhood, and explore, because that could really add to the neighborhood. If they were to choose three or four trees along with some work to improve circulation and their entrance, that could really become a nice strategic property. I mean, it is to a point, but it could be a lot more. And because we're talking about that neighborhood, it comes to mind. How about east? We have Mueller Park. We have several subdivisions, some pretty strong, some not. Any thoughts, treescapes or otherwise, that we could do to enhance that area east of East? Because in my mind, that's going to be kind of a test of whether this project's successful, if you help kind of the weaker part of town, along with the help the strong get stronger.
Well, I know the facility where I work. I think we're really looking at something to enhance that area. We're not happy with some of the trees. We already wrote those down, but Thiele Technology may be somebody you may want to approach. And then Rite Aid in that area. At least
are those the people that make the box machinery?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you know a person over there that would be a contact person?
I do.
Okay.
Ed Suarez.
Okay.
Is the vice president for that campus over there.
Great. And are you?
And Chad Doi.
Chad.
D-O-I.
Okay, great. Well, I went to their website because I was quite taken with how orderly and well-designed the whole complex is, and then discovered they actually make machinery to make boxes, which is a big deal to have in Reedley. And as you know, you're part of the company?
Yes.
Okay. They're global, and they've obviously positioned themselves to be the leader in different technologies. There's a company in Madera, and JMB, I think is the name of it, that makes equipment to manufacture cool storage equipment. So kind of the same idea, a local manufacturer of products used in ag throughout the world. And it's the same thing. It's global. I mean, it takes a lot of capital to do that. Well, that's great. I'll talk to them. Do you know if do they ever engage their employees in the community, or would it be mainly on the property itself?
They have a committee, but really you need to start with either one of those gentlemen.
What kind of committee?
They have a community involvement committee.
Okay.
Activities committee, I should say.
Ed Suarez or Chad Doy. That's great. How about Georgia Pacific? Any contacts like that with them?
They're one of our customers. However, I really don't have any names I could give you there, but.
You know, that's a Coke company.
Pardon?
Coke Brothers.
Oh.
They own that. And it's very well respected. I mean, put aside the politics, you know, there's no question about the business expertise. And I know they're community-minded, but they like to do it on their own terms, like most companies,
right?
I wanted to mention Richard Louvre, and I'd like to share with you a copy of the book. It's a project expense. It's part of everybody's homework. And it's called The Nature Principle. Is that okay to move on to this now?
Sure.
Okay. Richard wrote a book, Last Child in the Woods, that sold a lot of copies and influenced a lot of people and helped them realize that children don't do well if they're inside all the time. And he called it the outdoor deficit disorder. There's actual eyesight impacts and behavior impacts if you raise a child in a confined setting. Well, that was several years ago. Now he's come out with a book and says, well, that applies to the rest of us, that all of us are impacted by our environment. Obviously, you think the environment's important because that's what you deal with as Planning Commission members. He has research-based insights here that are just phenomenal. He talks about how we need to have balance between high tech and environment. And many times I've been hearing, especially through the Lyle Center, companies are drawn here because the people in software like to get to the mountains. So they'll spend their day inside, but look forward to the chance to get outdoors. Well, that's kind of an extreme, but the rest of us benefit in the same way. If we can get outdoors as part of our daily life, but it has to be an outdoors that's welcoming. And trees and landscapes can have a big impact. Let me just give you a couple, just kind of a preview of what you're going to find in here. He talks about plant blindness. You said you weren't the person to ask about trees. Well, you know what? Most people don't know much about trees. And it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, educated or not, most people don't. But most people, once they stop and think about, would like to know more, especially if they're about to replace something or add something. And so this plant blindness, and he's got research that shows it, in some cases, a person will not even see the plant. It isn't that they didn't know what kind it was. They don't even see it, which kind of explains some of our politics these days. Some people come from points of view where they don't even see or hear each other. Well, the same thing goes on when it comes to our interaction with the environment. Now, what's exciting in here is some physicians have seen such a profound benefit when patients interact with the environment and engage in exercise and work with plants, gardening and otherwise, that they're actually writing plant prescriptions. And he gives you some examples in here where they prescribe going to a certain park walking from here to here, and depending on the patient and their family circumstance, he may even prescribe who they ought to walk with. And it's serious, and it's exciting, and it could become part of our future. That not only would we think about children walking to school, but we think about how much time they're spending outdoors in the first place, with whom and where, and realizing that there's a correlation between physical well-being and mental well-being as a result of that. So I think you'll enjoy this, and I'll leave it with Ellen, copies for each of you, and would invite you to take a good look at it, because I think it validates everything we're trying to do here. And one more thing I wanted to share. I talk to people all over the state because of different projects we're working on, and I've been telling people about the Reedley Community Landscapes Plan. And they say, what? What's that? Really? They agreed to do that? Yeah. In fact, I was talking with one of the community leaders in Fresno today. He says, are you telling me that Reedley has their act together better than Fresno? I said, well, yeah, collectively. When it comes to, at least for landscapes, I'm learning about the community otherwise. So people who are in the professions or people who are in community leadership roles see the potential impact that this could have. It'll not only affirm the good things you're doing, but it will identify some opportunities to make you stronger. But I think also what you're going to find is to get people talking. It kind of builds community. And maybe even one neighbor will ask another neighbor what they would think of planting a tree. And I also have a brochure for each member. And just to sum up, we added to the brochure this year, we create special places, because what we found is that you can't just plant a tree in the abstract. It has to occupy space, it has to have water, it has to be appropriate to the setting. And whether it be a triangle at the entrance to your downtown area, or whether it be a boulevard or a park or someone's front yard or a whole community. And that's exciting for me at this point in my life, to actually work on something that calls for great community design. And yeah, I get a kick out of planting a tree as well. So Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the chance to speak to you. Well, if there's anything else you wanted to ask, I'd be glad to chat about that.
Well, Mr. Harris, I mean, thank you. Thank you to Tree Fresno to, you know, even coming up with this and approaching our city. And I didn't grow up here, but I grew up in Southern California. And okay. If anybody knows anything, I grew up in Ventura County. And one of the largest emphasis these cities down there focused on was landscaping, trees. So when I moved up here many years ago, that was one of the things that I remember that this area lacked. Especially when it was really, really hot, I couldn't believe there was not a lot of trees and things of that nature. So I resonate with this, and so I just want to thank you for even presenting this and allowing us to be part of this project here. And
Give me feedback as we go. I mean, you're going to get my card.
Absolutely.
If you have some thought, yeah. If you say, oh, I know this business that might be a good strategic property, here's who you call. Maybe they'd be ready to plant trees this fall or this spring. And I wrote your name in each one. I hope it didn't get scrambled too much.
It's okay. We'll look at it.
You can trade them. And there's one for the two who aren't here, and here's Kevin.
Oh, Kevin gets to read a little bit more there.
Thank you.
And is Ron not
Ron's
here?
Not here.
And
we'll make sure they get
that. You know, sir, I didn't engage you. I gather you're an interested citizen.
I work with the state.
Okay, you worked for the newspaper. You were very interested in Ellen. We've appreciated the coverage you guys have given us from the beginning. You know, one of your reporters called, I remember it was a woman, so probably wouldn't be you, and said, okay, how many more trees are we going to have in Reedley as a result of this study? And she really pressed me. And I said, well, at least 2,000 if it's fully implemented, because I knew that from the Reedley Parkway together with what we'd seen so far. It could be more, but I'll know a lot more in about 3 months, a lot more. And it will change what it's like to live in Reedley. And we aren't here by accident, as I think I made clear with your staff member before. We're here because there's a demonstrated interest in trees and landscapes going way back. And you've got leadership at City Hall who's very approachable on the topic. So
yeah, I agree with that. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Sarahs.
Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. We'll make sure we can communicate with Kevin and Ellen, and thank you for the information that made it easy. If we have any questions, that we can call you. And thank you for the book. I appreciate that. So that ends the workshop involving Tree Fresno, and I want to thank them again about just the interest in just to beautify our city and add valuable resources as trees as we need them. So now we're in the portion of the agenda here that the community director's report is going to go ahead and give us some good stuff here on agenda, well, numbers 7 or 8. So, Kevin?
So let me start by expressing on behalf of myself and the entire department staff, hope everybody has a good 2016. I'm kind of finishing off just real quickly with 2015. In about the middle of December, the city did receive a kudos award, which was related to our general plan. I think we told you about that a couple times. It actually came in. We do have a little trophy, if you will, that was also presented to the city council at the last at their last meeting. So we were very pleased and honored to receive such an award for our general plan. So
who
that was pretty.
Where did you receive it from?
Let's see. It was the
San Joaquin Valley Partnership.
The San. Yeah, right. Thank you. San Joaquin Valley Partnership. It's actually something that was created out of an executive order that Governor Schwarzenegger enacted. It was, the partnership is actually designed for kind of an economic regional perspective. So the committee or the actual partnership is probably 30 or 40 individuals, but it is both public and private. So there were folks from Gallo Wines, there were a number of private businesses, many of which, if I went and got the list, you would recognize. It was state agencies, federal agencies, jurisdictions, institutions of higher education. So it was really a consortium built on all layers of individuals and interest, with the idea that they would bring to the valley an opportunity to address on a more regional level topics of mutual interest and concern. One obviously is economics, but they also have things related to technology and access to technology. they have a whole work group related to water. They have a whole consortium related to job preparedness and people in the workforce, matching emerging technologies to workforce skills, skill sets, and how do you keep pace? What are the educational requirements? What do we need to do to shore up the workforce to be competitive in those emerging markets? So we were very, very pleased. We were extremely honored You know, it's not often planning departments get recognized, and so we're pretty pleased about that. I also wanted to just share really quickly, at the end of the year, Ellen and I sat down and we kind of recapped last year and we kind of drew out the next year. It may seem like sort of more of the same, but we're pretty darn excited about a couple opportunities, some more fine-tuning, refining of the code. So we'll have general several text amendments we'll bring before you. But one of the bigger projects we want to start is going to be kind of a tune-up of the general plan. It's real typical for organizations to about every 2 years go through an evaluation process of just kind of what's working, what do we need to fine-tune or tweak. And again, we firmly believe as staff, we've talked to you as well as the council, it's a living, breathing document. So we do need to sit down and kind of make sure that it's still breathing and applicable and the policies, if for whatever's changed in the environment, are appropriate. So we're pretty excited about that. We're also really, again, very excited about the beginning of 2016 because I think the community has an opportunity to really see all the hard work that's gone on in the last 2 years as projects are coming out of the ground. You know, Les Schwab is obviously visible by its location, but you do have the new administrative building. I walk by the new dialysis center that's over on Manning. We've already gotten complaints, which is great. It's the way every process, every project goes. You start with the complaints because something happened. And you know, down by Uncle Harry's, we've got Trailside Terrace, which is getting ready to break ground. You know, people are in grubbing and, you know, why is all this machinery downtown? And so that was the first, you know, hurrah. And so we're excited about that. We knew they were down there working because we got a few complaints. And it really wasn't complaints. It was just more like, hey, what's going on down there? And so on and so forth. So that's really very exciting. We know of several other projects that are very close to, if you will, popping, coming out of the ground. So that's really exciting. One of the big projects is Blossom Trail. As you know, we've talked to you several times. That's slowly percolating and moving forward, and we're hoping that will be to you. And that's going to come to you in several stages for approval, but that ought to start in February, March, a whole approval process, and we're pretty excited about that one. Engineering is extremely busy. As you are well aware of the Reed Avenue projects, one of the things that they did, and I don't know if most people understand, but the southern portion from Olson South that they just finished, there was a whole portion north of Olson on Reed, right? So that went from the intersection all the way up. That was the collapse of the line, right? And then across Olson on the bridge. There's another segment that also collapsed, which was the southern portion from Olson on Reed, kind of down towards, exactly. And so what was really interesting about that piece, that segment, is it was actually inverted, meaning it went uphill. And so one of the things that they did was actually made it go downhill. And so we were kind of laughing the other day about, you know, it's really great that gravity's still working, but all the lines are hooked up, and that was a huge benefit to the system, making sure it'll work. Pipes were upsized, and I commend my engineering department because one of the things that we did was we didn't just replace everything as it was, but upsizing those pipes is huge. So, you know, we're gonna have capacity in the system for future. And so that was really, really good. Where we stand now is because of the weather, they haven't been able to come in and put the new surface down, AC. But that is short and coming in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll be back up and running. The CBTC is under construction. You probably see that regularly. Pretty excited about that. The weather has slowed us down on a couple of projects in engineering, but they're, you know, those are just to be expected. There was the Huntsman tree planting and trailway project. That one's kind of on hold for a while. So as soon as the weather breaks and we can get it back on it, the contractor will probably start in February, March and finish that up. At the next council meeting, I'll just let everybody know, I think they distributed the packets, some kind of exciting topics. One, of course, will be the Parks Master Plan, several things associated with that. But to let everybody know, I've been working on a grant application related to the Luke Trimble Pool. the state offers up periodically monies to communities that have approved affordable housing projects. And there's a very complex allocation of that funding, and I won't go into all of it, but basically they, based on the project, you can get anywhere from $500 to $2,500 a unit. So because the city's never applied for this, and because we have Trailside Terrace, we have Kings River Commons. We also have Reedley Family. That's given us a pretty good chunk of money to rehab a park or do something parks related. We looked at several options, to be honest with you. Luke Trimble became the most economical for a variety of ways. It's really the project that would best fit into that funding source and maximize the funding that was available in the rubric. So just to make, if you're kind of wondering what I'm kind of talking about is, the funding was basically based on the number of units or the number of bedrooms in a particular unit. And you got a base fee. For argument's sake, I think it was $500. But if it was an infill project, you got a little bit more. If it helped you meet your RENA numbers, you got a little bit more. If it was consistent with smart growth or blueprint concepts, you got a little bit more. And so when we added all that up, we figured out about how much we had and how much that would generate. The other part to that is that there are state criterion that talk about distressed parks, parks to persons ratio, which is acreage to population. I'm sorry, I should have described it differently. And so Luke Trimble became the prime spot that allowed the city to generate, if you will, the largest per unit cost, if that makes any sense. It met all the criteria with acreage to folks, disadvantaged communities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we are going to be taking to council next Tuesday a request to approve the application. It basically is going to be the project in and of itself will be obviously demolishing the pool and the old bathhouse, as I call it. It will be then abandoning J Street in that little segment.
That diamond there?
That little, yeah, where it cuts across.
Odd.
Yeah. It is odd. So that'll be enhancing the park, size of the park, and it'll be replaced with a bathroom facilities, and a splash park. curb, gutter, and sidewalk all the way around, improvements to the alley for pickup.
Nice.
We're trying to really make it a top-notch project. And so there's more projects in Reedley that are going to be eligible over the next couple years. So we've already talked to our grant consultant about and have some ideas about what round two would be and what it would look like for projects. The sports park being potentially something that would be eligible. It's actually, it is not eligible today, but it could be in the future. So we're looking at all kinds of projects for the next round as well. But that'll be something you'll hear about. And we're pretty excited about. That really concludes my report. I'm sure there's probably about five or six or a dozen other things that I've forgotten. But for now, I think that's pretty good. Any questions? Anything I can answer for you? Anything you'd like to know?
I don't think so. Oh, really quick. What's going on with the dialysis center?
It's under construction.
I'm just going to have to go drive by tomorrow.
Yeah, it's actually, I walked by the 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They've, like everybody else, been slowed up.
Just because of our...
Because of the rain.
The soil is...
Yeah,
what's with them, actually the worst part was they got to a stage where they had... actually completed all their earthwork. And what caught my attention was when they did their earthwork, because it is a little bit of a constrained site, they had this huge hill that was over the top of the 7-foot fence. And so I look up and there's like this huge caterpillar up there one day. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, they got all their earthwork done. They were just about getting ready to do their foundation, which mm-hmm. we all know that what they do is all that trenching, they lay everything. Well, all those trenches caved. So with the wet soils, they then had to go back, retrench, things like that. Nobody was out there today when I was working, when I walked by, but I know that's a project that's not, you know, they're gonna move that along. And
good.
I'd almost guarantee they'll catch up pretty darn quick once they get that foundation poured and some walls up.
Wonderful.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
All right. So for future agenda items, we're scheduled to be here the 4th of February. So commissioners, please have that on your calendar there. And if we have any more comments or questions, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the book.